From the pen of P.G. Woodhouse, this is What Ho Jeeves. Starring Richard Briers as Bertie Wooster and Michael Hordern as Jeeves, What Ho Jeeves was adapted and produced by the BBC. I'm your host, Fred Callan.
Though never faltering in my opinion that Augustus Finknottle was nature's final word in cloth-headed guffins, I liked the man and wished him well. And so when, against all the ruling of the form book, he fell in love with Madeline Bassett, a sloppy, saucer-eyed female I had met in Cannes a few weeks previously, I strained every sinew to assist the poor fish in his wooing. But Gussie, due to having spent most of his life shut up in a country house studying the habits of newts, was not a particularly easy chap to help. He lacked snap and finish. I mean to say, consider the facts. He had first met the Bassett out for a walk with her dog, and had rallied round to extract a thorn from the brute's foot, which must be the nearest you can get in this life to having the thing handed you on a plate. But the chap was such a complete rabbit that he hadn't even had the nerve to press the blighted female's hand. What I mean to say, what? Quite. In an effort, therefore, to get this human jellyfish steamed up, I'd sent him down to Brinkley Court, my Aunt Delia's Worcestershire residence, where Madeline Bassett was putting in some time as a guest of my cousin Angela, reasoning that the romantic atmosphere engendered by shady walks, shady lawns, and whatnot, would eventually get him going. A brainy scheme, this, incidentally, as it enabled me to shove off onto him a perfectly foul job Aunt Delia had had lined up for me, viz., presenting the prizes at Market Snodsbury Grammar School. However, when I myself arrived at Brinkley the following day, I could discern no improvement in my gooseberry-eyed school pal. I eventually flushed him out near the tennis court and hailed him genially.
Gussie! Well, Gussie!
Huh? You and your well, Gussie.
What's this? How do you mean, me and my well, Gussie? And between clenched teeth, too.
I like your nerve. Coming bounding about the place saying, well, Gussie. That's about all the well, Gussie, I shall require from you, Wooster. And it's no good looking at me like that. You know what I mean. This damned prize-giving the day after tomorrow. It was a dastardly act to crawl out as you did and shove it off onto me, and you know it. I will not mince my words. It was the act of a hound and a stinker.
Oh, yes, the prize-giving, yes. Yes. But, my dear chap, I took it for granted that you would understand that that was all part of my schemes to help you win Madeline Bassett. Yes. Crawling out is entirely the wrong way to put it. You don't suppose I didn't want to distribute those prizes, do you? Left to myself, there is nothing I would find a greater treat. But I felt that your need was greater than mine. You don't mean to say you aren't looking forward to it.
Huh?
But dash it, Gussie. Can't you see what this is going to do for you? It'll send your stock up with a jump. Madeline Bassett will be all over you. She will see you in a totally new light.
Will she?
Certainly she will. Augustus Finknottle, the newt's friend, she knows. She's acquainted with Augustus Finknottle, the dog's chiropodist. But Augustus Finknottle, the orator, that'll knock her sideways, or I know nothing of the female heart. Girls go potty over a public man. If ever anyone did anyone else a kindness, it was I when I gave this extraordinarily attractive assignment to you.
Yes. Perhaps. It may be all right, then. Possibly I am letting the thing prey on my mind too much. I may be wrong in supposing it's the faith that's worse than death, but I tell you this much, Bertie. The prospect of this prize-giving has been turning my existence into a nightmare. I haven't been able to sleep or think or eat. That and Madeline, of course.
Ah, yes, Madeline. How are things on that front, Gussie?
Oh, I shall never be able to ask her to marry me, Bertie. I can't find the nerve. Oh, if only I were a male newt. Courtship would be so easy for newts.
So you said before, but you aren't.
I wish I were.
But you aren't. A dash it all, Gussie. In these romantic surroundings, I should have thought the whispering trees alone...
I don't care what you'd have thought. I can't do it, Bertie.
Oh, come.
I can't. She seems so aloof, so remote.
She doesn't.
Yes, she does. Especially when you see her sideways. Have you ever seen her sideways, Bertie? That cold, pure profile. Oh, it just takes all the heart out of one.
It doesn't.
I tell you, it does. I catch sight of it and the words freeze on my lips.
Gussie, come now.
No, Bertie.
There must be a way.
There isn't.
Gussie, there is.
What?
A way. With that extraordinary quickness of mine, I realized exactly what must be done to push your nose past the judge's box. I shall now return to the house and lug this Basset out for a stroll. I shall talk to her of hearts that yearn, intimating that there is one actually on the premises. I shall pitch it strong, sparing no effort. You, meanwhile, will lurk on the outskirts, and in about a quarter of an hour, you will come along and carry on from there. By that time, her emotions having been stirred, you ought to be able to do the rest on your head. It'll be like leaping onto a moving bus.
Yes, I see what you mean. You'll sort of pave the way, as it were.
That's right. Spade work.
It's a terrific idea, Bertie. It'll make all the difference.
Quite. But don't forget that after that, it'll be up to you. You'll have to haul up your slacks and give her the old oil, or my efforts will have been in vain.
Oh, my golly, that's true. Oh, gosh. What the dickens shall I say, Bertie?
Oh, dash it, there are hundreds of things to say. Talk about the sunset.
The sunset?
Oh, certainly. Half the married men you meet began by talking about the sunset.
But what can I say about the sunset?
Jeeves got off a good one the other day. Now, what was it he said now? Oh, yes, yes. Now fades the glimmering landscape on the sight, sir, and all the air a solemn stillness holds. You might use that.
What sort of landscape?
Glimmering. G for gastritis, L for lizard.
Oh, glimmering. Yes, that's not bad. Glimmering landscape, solemn stillness. Yes, I call that pretty good.
You could then say that you have often thought that the stars are God's daisy chain.
But I haven't.
I dare say not, but she has. She told me so it can. Many times. Yes, Gussie, hand her that one, and I don't see how she can help feeling that you're a twin soul.
God's daisy chain, really?
God's absolute daisy chain. And then you can go on about the twilight always makes you feel sad. Now, I know you're going to say it doesn't, but on this occasion it's jolly well got to.
Why?
Exactly. That's just what she will ask, and you will then have got her going because you will reply that this is because yours is such a lonely life. You pace the meadows with a heavy tread, wishing that you had someone to love you, and then you speak of the day when she came into your life.
Like a fairy princess.
Absolutely hot stuff, Gussie. Like, as you say, a fairy princess. Nice word.
And then, Bertie, and then?
Well, after that, it's easy, isn't it? Easy. You say you have something you want to say to her, and then you snap into it. I don't see how you can fail. If I were you, I should do it in the rose garden. It's well established that there is no sounder move than to steer the adored object into rose gardens in the gloaming. And you better have a couple of quick ones first.
Quick ones?
Snifters.
Drinks, do you mean? But I don't drink.
What?
I've never touched a drop in my life.
But Cassie, on these occasions, a moderate skinful is of the essence.
I always drink orange juice.
Orange juice? Tell me, Gussie, to settle a bit, do you really like that muck?
Very much.
And I suppose there's no more to be said. Are you sure you won't have one quick snort?
Oh, positive.
Oh, very well, then. Right, now let's have a run through to see that you've got the layout straight. Now, start off with the glimmering landscape.
Stars, God's daisy chain.
Twilight makes you feel sad.
Because mine the only life.
Describe life.
Talk about the day I met her.
Add fairy princess gag, heave a couple of sighs, grab a hand, give her the works. Right, Gussie, I'll go and get her.
Bertie!
And make sure that you're ready to take over.
Oh, righto, righto, Bertie. Righto.
It was not until I had reached the drawing room and was enabled to take a square look at the Basset that I found the debonair gaiety with which I had embarked on this affair beginning to wane a trifle. The thought of strolling with this rummy specimen undeniably gave me a most unpleasant sinking feeling. How different it would have all been, I reflected, if this girl had been the sort of girl one chirrups cheerily to over the telephone and takes for spins in the old two-seater. In that case, I would simply have said, listen, and she would have said, what? And I would have said, you know Gussie Finknottle? And she would have said, yes. And I would have said, he loves you? And she would have said either, what, that mutt? Well, thank heaven for one good laugh today. Or else, in more passionate vein, hot dog, tell me more. I mean to say, in either event, the whole thing over and done with in under a minute. But with the Basset, something less snappy and a good deal more glutinous was obviously indicated. Lovely evening.
Yes, lovely, isn't it?
Lovely. Reminds me of Cannes.
How lovely the evenings were there.
Lovely.
Lovely.
Lovely. Well, that completes the weather and news bulletin from the French Riviera, what?
Oh, look.
What?
I said, oh, look.
Oh. What at?
Up there. That sweet little star all by itself.
Hmm? Oh, what, that little chap?
The one operating in a detached sort of way above the spinny?
Yes. I wonder if it feels lonely.
What? Oh, no. I shouldn't think so.
A fairy must have been crying.
Yeah. Fairy? Crying?
Don't you remember? Every time a fairy sheds a tear, a wee bit star is born in the Milky Way. Have you ever thought that, Mr. Wooster?
No. Most improbable, I should have thought.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, nothing, nothing. Talking of shedding tears...
Oh, look, the little bunnies.
Yeah. Talking of shedding tears...
Don't you love this time of the evening, Mr. Wooster, when the sun has gone to bed and all the bunnies come out to have their little suppers? When I was a child, I used to think that rabbits were gnomes and that if I held my breath and stayed quite still, I should see the Fairy Queen.
Yes, quite. But talking of shedding tears, it may interest you to know that there is an aching heart in Brinkley Court.
Oh, yes. Life is very sad, isn't it?
It is, for some people. This aching heart, for instance. I mean to say, you know why hearts ache.
You mean for love?
Absolutely. Right on the bull's eye. For love.
Oh, Mr. Wooster.
I take it you believe in love at first sight?
I do indeed.
Well, that's what's happened to this aching heart, you see. It fell in love at first sight, and ever since it's been eating itself out, as I believe the expression is.
Oh, Mr. Wooster.
Well, for you, I mean to say. For you and so forth. It's having a dickens of a time, don't you know? Can't eat, can't sleep, all for love of you. What makes it so particularly rotten is that this aching heart can't bring itself up to scratch and tell you the position of affairs, because your profile has gone and given it cold feet. Just as it is about to speak, you see, it's about to speak when it catches sight of you sideways and words fail it. Silly, of course, but there it is. Let you hang, you?
No, thanks. I'm quite all right. Please don't say any more, Mr. Wooster.
Well, I wasn't going to, actually.
I understand.
Fine, fine, fine.
Yes, I understand. I won't be so silly as to pretend not to know what you mean. I suspected this at Cannes when you used to stand and stare at me without speaking a word.
What?
But with whole volumes in your eyes.
Oh, no. No, no.
Yes, all through those days at Cannes, I could see what you were trying to say. A girl always knows. And then you followed me down here.
Oh, no.
And there was that same dumb, yearning look in your eyes when we met this evening.
But...
And then you were so insistent that I should come out and walk with you in the twilight.
But I say...
And now you stammer out those halting words.
But I...
No. This does not come as a surprise.
But
I'm sorry.
But... Sorry? You mean...
Yes. I am afraid it's impossible.
Impossible?
Impossible.
Oh. Right-ho, then.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's quite all right. It's all right. Definitely.
Sorrier than I can say.
Oh, no. Don't give it another thought.
We can still be friends.
Oh, rather.
Then, shall we just say no more about it? Keep what has happened as a tender little secret between ourselves.
Absolutely.
We will. Like something lovely and fragrant, laid away in lavender.
In lavender? Right.
I wish I could.
Could?
Feel towards you as you would like me to feel.
Oh.
Because I am fond of you, Mr. No. I think I must call you Bertie. May I?
Oh, rather.
Because we are real friends.
Quite.
I do like you, Bertie. And if things were different... Oh, life is such a muddle, isn't it?
Are you trying to tell me there's someone else?
Yes.
You're in love with some other bloke?
I am.
Oh, my golly. Poor old Gussie. Some other bloke, eh? This is really going to dish him. Engaged?
No, not engaged.
Oh.
I'm afraid he doesn't care for me in that way. At least he has said nothing. You understand, I'm only telling you this because...
Oh, rather.
It's odd that You should have asked me if I believe in love at first sight, Bertie. Whoever loved that loved not at first sight.
I don't know who.
It's a silly little story, really. I was staying with some friends in the country, and I'd gone for a walk with my dog, and the poor wee mite got a nasty thorn in his little foot, and I didn't know what to do. And then suddenly, this man came along.
Wow! You mean this other bloke is...
I beg your pardon?
No, nothing, no. Just remember there's a letter I ought to write tonight without fail, that's all. If you don't mind, I think I'll be going in, yes. Look, here comes Gussie Finknottle. He'll look after you. Here comes Gussie Finknottle. Yes, well, here he is. Toodle-pip.
Goodbye, Bertie.
Toodle-pip.
A minute or so later, a Bertram Wooster, who looked as if he had passed through the furnace and been caught in the machinery, could have been observed moving like a leopard towards the smoking room for the snifter of a lifetime. I was all over Twitter, believe me. Already, I felt, the happy ending must have begun to function. I mean to say, when you leave a girl and a man, each of whom has admitted in set terms that she and he loves him and her, in close juxtaposition in the twilight, there doesn't seem to be much more to do but start pricing fish slices. Swallowing the remains of my beverage, therefore, I headed for the great open spaces again to see if any returns were in. I just reached the Rose Garden when I suddenly heard a groan.
Oh! No!
What? What?
Good evening, sir.
Jeeves.
Yes, sir.
Was that you groaning?
No, sir. It was Mr. Finknottle. He's not feeling well.
What? What? Why not? What's gone wrong? Ah, Gussie, look, I know marriage is a pretty solemn business.
Goodbye, Bertie.
I spot an error, don't I? You mean hello?
No, I don't. I mean goodbye. I'm off.
Off where?
To the kitchen garden, to drown myself.
Oh, don't be an ass.
I am not an ass. Am I an ass, Jeeves?
Possibly a little injudicious.
Drowning myself, you mean?
Yes, sir.
You think, on the whole, not drown myself?
I should not advocate it, sir.
Very well, Jeeves. I accept your ruling. After all, it would be unpleasant for Mrs. Travers to find a swollen body floating on her pond.
Yes, sir.
She has been very kind to me.
Yes, sir.
And you have been very kind to me, Jeeves.
Thank you, sir.
And so have you, Bertie. Very kind. Everybody has been very kind to me. Very, very kind. Very kind indeed. I have no complaints to make. All right. I'll go for a walk instead. Goodbye.
Jeeves. What the dickens is all this?
Mr. Finknottle is not quite himself, sir. He has passed through a trying experience.
But I left him out there with Miss Bassett.
Yes, sir.
I softened her up.
Yes, sir.
He knew exactly what he had to do. I coached him thoroughly in lines and business.
Yes, sir. So Mr. Finknottle informed me.
Well, then.
I regret to say, sir, that there was a slight hitch.
You mean something went wrong?
Precisely, sir.
But how could anything go wrong? She loves him, Jeeves.
Indeed, sir.
She definitely told me so. There couldn't have been a whole platoon of men taking thorns out of her dog that day. The animal wasn't a pincushion. If she loves him, Jeeves, all he had to do was to propose.
Yes, sir.
Well, didn't he?
No, sir.
Then what the diggers did he talk about?
Newts, sir.
Newts?
Exactly, sir.
Newts?
Precisely, sir.
But what did he want to talk about newts for?
He did not want to talk about newts, sir. As I gather from Mr. Finknottle, nothing could have been more alien to his plans.
But you can't force a man to talk about newts, Jeeves.
Mr. Finknottle was the victim of a sudden unfortunate spasm of nervousness, sir. Upon finding himself alone with the young lady, he admits to having lost his morale. In such circumstances, gentlemen frequently talk at random, saying the first thing that chances to enter their heads. This, in Mr. Finknottle's case, would seem to have been the newt, its treatment in sickness and in health.
I see. And how long did this nuisance continue?
For some not inconsiderable time, I gather, sir. According to Mr. Finknottle, he supplied Miss Bassett with very full and complete information, not only with respect to the common newt, but also the crested and palmated varieties. And he was just observing that newts differ from salamanders in the shape of the tail, which is compressed, and that a marked sexual dimorphism prevails in most species, when the young lady rose and said that she thought she would go back to the house.
And then?
She went, sir.
Hmm. Difficult, Jeeves. Difficult to know what to do next.
Yes, sir.
I must think it over.
Yes, sir.
Burnish the brain a bit and endeavour to find a way out.
Precisely, sir.
Well, good night, Jeeves.
Good night, sir.
Yes. I don't know if it has happened to you at all, but a thing I've noticed with myself is that when I'm confronted by a problem which seems for the moment to stump and baffle, a good sleep will often bring the solution in the morning. It was so on the present occasion. For directly I opened my eyes on the morrow, I saw daylight. Well, I don't mean that exactly, because naturally I did. What I mean is that I perceived exactly what steps must be taken in order to put Augustus Finknottle among the practicing Romeos. Jeeves?
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Your tea, sir.
Thank you, Jeeves. Jeeves, I've got it.
Indeed, sir.
Yes, Jeeves, the Finknottle problem is solved.
I am very gratified to hear it, sir.
Yes, Jeeves. What we have been omitting to take into account all along in handling the case of Augustus Finknottle is the fact that we are dealing with a poop.
A sensitive plant would perhaps be a kinder expression, sir.
No, Jeeves. A poop. And shall I tell you why, Jeeves?
Yes, sir.
Because he tried to do the thing on orange juice.
Sir?
Gussie is an orange juice addict. He drinks nothing else.
I was not aware of that, sir.
I have it from his own lips. Gussie Finknottle has never in the whole course of his career pushed so much as the simplest gin and tonic over the larynx. And he expects, this poop expects, Jeeves, this wobbling, shrinking, diffident rabbit in human shape, expects under these conditions to propose to the girl he loves. One hardly knows whether to smile or weep. What?
You consider total abstinence a handicap to a gentleman who wishes to make a proposal of marriage, sir?
Oh, why, dash it, you must know it is. Use your intelligence, Jeeves. Reflect what proposing means. It means that a decent, self-respecting chap has got to listen to himself saying things which, if spoken on the silver screen, would cause him to dash to the box office and demand his money back. Let him attempt to do it on orange juice, and what ensues? Shame seals his lips, or, if he doesn't do that, makes him lose his morale and start to babble. And that is why, Jeeves, I intend tomorrow to secure a bottle of gin and lace his luncheon orange juice with it liberally.
Sir...
Yes, Jeeves?
If you will pardon my saying so, sir, I consider that the action which you propose seems to me somewhat injudicious.
Injudicious? I don't follow you, Jeeves. It will get Gussie going at long last.
In my opinion, sir, a certain amount of risk would enter into it. It is not always a simple matter to gauge the effect of alcohol on a subject unaccustomed to such stimulant. I have known it to have distressing results in the case of parrots.
Parrots?
I was thinking of an incident in my earlier life, sir, before I entered your employment. I was in the service of the late Lord Brancaster at the time, a gentleman who owned a parrot to which he was greatly devoted. And one day the bird chanced to be lethargic, and his lordship, with the kindly intention of restoring it to its customary animation, offered it a portion of seed cake steeped in the 84 port. The bird accepted the morsel gratefully and consumed it with every indication of satisfaction. Almost immediately afterwards, however, its manner became markedly feverish. Having bitten his lordship in the thumb and sung part of a sea shanty, it fell to the bottom of the cage and remained there for a considerable period of time with its legs in the air, unable to move. I merely mention this, sir, in order to...
Jeeves!
Sir?
There's a flaw in your argument. Gussie isn't a parrot.
I am aware of that, sir, but...
Look, it is high time, in my opinion, this question of what young Gussie really is was threshed out and cleared up. He seems to think he is a male newt, and you appear to suggest that he is a parrot. The truth of the matter is that he is just a plain, ordinary poop who needs a snootful as badly as ever man did. So no more discussion, Jeeves, my mind is made up. There is only one way of handling this difficult case, and that is the way I have outlined.
Very good, sir.
Righto, Jeeves. So much for that, then. Now, here's something else. You noticed that I said I was going to put this project through tomorrow. And no doubt you wondered why I said tomorrow. Why did I, Jeeves?
Because you feel that if it were done when 'tis done, then 'twere well it were done quickly, sir?
Partly that, Jeeves, but not altogether. My chief reason for fixing the date as specified is that tomorrow, though you have doubtless forgotten it, is the day of the distribution of prizes at Market Snodsbury Grammar School, at which, as you know, Gussie is to be the male star and master of the revels. So you see, we shall, by lacing that juice, not only embolden him to propose to Miss Bassett, but also put him so into shape that he will hold that Market Snodsbury audience spellbound.
In fact, you will be killing two birds with one stone, sir.
Exactly. It's a very neat way of putting it. And now, here is a minor point. On second thoughts, I think the best plan will be for you, not me, to lace the juice.
Sir?
Yes, Jeeves, you. You are in a position to obtain ready access to the stuff.
No doubt, sir, but...
But, Jeeves? What do you mean, but?
I fear, sir...
Fear?
What I'm endeavouring to say, sir, is that I am sorry, but I am afraid I must enter an unequivocal nolle prosequi.
Do what?
Yeah, the expression is a legal one, sir, signifying the resolve not to proceed with the matter. In other words, eager though I am to carry out your instructions, sir, as a general rule, on this occasion I must respectfully decline to cooperate.
You won't do it, you mean?
Precisely, sir.
Well, I'm dashed. Won't?
No, sir.
Won't?
No, sir.
Won't?
No, sir.
I'm stunned, Jeeves. I really am. Gussie's whole future happiness depends on this venture.
And nevertheless, sir...
Jeeves, I had not expected this of you. I feel like a general who's ordered a regiment to charge and has been told that it isn't in the mood.
I am sorry, sir.
So am I, Jeeves. Sorry and sick at heart. Naturally, I realize that lacing Gussie's orange juice is not one of those regular duties for which you receive your monthly stipend. And if you care to stand on the letter of the contract, I suppose there is nothing to be done about it. But you will permit me to observe that this is scarcely the feudal spirit.
I am sorry, sir.
Oh, it's quite all right, Chief. Quite all right. I'm not angry. Only a little hurt. I, however, have Gussie's interests at heart. I will proceed in my own sweet way.
Very good, sir.
Right-o, Jeeves. That will be all. Dash the fellow.
What Ho, Jeeves is produced by the BBC. Richard Briers is Bertie Wooster, and Michael Hordern plays Jeeves. I'm your host, Fred Callan. Senior producer for NPR Playhouse is Mary Lou Finnegan.